I put a title onto, I've been putting titles on things lately, and I put a title on it, Adonai Never Changes His Mind. And as I was typing it out, I underlined the never. And I wanted to put exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, and maybe three or four others. Because sometimes when people read Scripture, it appears to them that man's prayers will change the mind of Adonai. Adonai will say something in a way that makes people think it's set in stone. But then because something happens or a person does something differently, it doesn't happen. However, I hope most of us know that Adonai really doesn't change his mind. And even more importantly, he does not change his nature. He is who he is. Within the recent Torah portion of Balak, we saw a piece that supports this thought that maybe he does. We see this thought that he never changes. And the first piece of scripture is Numbers 23. Numbers 23:19 from Balaam says, God is not a man who lies, nor a son of man who changes his mind. Does he speak and then not do it, or promise and not fulfill it? Well, the answer obviously is never. And again, we see Samuel says the same thing about Adonai. Samuel 15:29. Moreover, the eternal God of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not human that he should change his mind. And you know, these are not Tanakh thoughts, Old Covenant thoughts. He goes on, this is the same thought that's continued on through all of Scripture. Within the Brit Hadashah as well, the New Covenant. Shaul writes to the Romans, 11:28, Romans, concerning the good news, they are hostile to your for your sake. But concerning chosenness, they are loved on account of the fathers. And here's the one I want to really put out there. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. The things of God are irrevocable, meaning that they don't change. The things that he is, the things that he says, and the things that are on his mind don't change. Adonai does not change his mind. He does not pull back from supporting someone or take away the gifts that he's already given out. It seems pretty clear that Adonai is not like a flame that flickers and moves about, just as James told us that. But there are those that will make a case that he does change his mind at times. And they use scripture to back up the claim. We see this as Exodus 32:9 says, Adonai said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, leave me alone, so my wrath may burn hot against them, so that I may consume them and make from you a great nation. Then Moses sought Adonai his God, and said, Adonai, why should your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought forth from the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, he brought them out to do evil, to slay them in the mountains and to annihilate them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from your destruction against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken I will give to your offspring, and they will inherit it forever. So Adonai relented from the destruction that he said he would do to his people. Where am I? I'm off a slide. Sorry, people. So the question is, did Adonai change his mind based on Moses' prayer? From the text, it would almost appear that that was the case. It says that he said that he would, what he was going to do to the people. So people think that Adonai set it in stone that the way it was going to be, that destruction had to happen. But then he changed his mind. I believe that the people who see this passage as a way of saying that God's changed his mind is putting too much emphasis on what the Lord is doing and not looking at the why and not looking at what else is going on in the passage. They're not looking at the true mindset and nature of Adonai, that none should be lost. They're not looking at the hard attitude of Moses on display when Adonai relented. They see Adonai as a railroad track that can only go in one direction, and one set cannot deviate from the path that it's on. I believe that Adonai is like a railroad track that's set, but there are built-in switches that can change the directory of the train based on the heart attitude of the people or the person involved, and that God created both tracks and both paths. Within the statements of Adonai, there are built-in if-then statements. Adonai says, this will happen, but a right heart attitude of a man can throw the switch so that the path is changed. It's not a path that Adonai didn't know about, but it's the mercy and the grace that Adonai allows the train to change its path, to allow another track to come that Adonai has laid out before. If we look into 2 Kings 20, we're told that King Hezekiah and the decision that Adonai made about his life. The prophet Isaiah came to Hezekiah. We see this in 20 verse 1. In these days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. So Isaiah the prophet, son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus says Adonai, put your house in order, for you are dying and will not live. Adonai sent his word by his prophet, so that must be the mind of Adonai. It was set that the king would die. It seems to be set in stone. And since Adonai said it, it's going to happen. If we were to stop reading there, then the story would be set in stone. But we must continue reading to see what happens, to see God's will and God's thoughts. So we continue in verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall, Hezekiah, and prayed to Adonai, saying, please, Adonai, remember how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of Adonai came to him, saying, return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says Adonai, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. Behold, I am going to heal you. On the third day, you'll go up to the house of Adonai. Then I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Adonai said that he heard the prayers and seen the tears of the king. Does that mean that the prayers and tears changed the mind of Adonai? I don't think so. But what the tears and the prayers did was to show the heart of the king and the change that occurred in Hezekiah's heart towards Adonai. The change was not in him, Adonai. The change was in him, the king, Hezekiah. The thing that is there is that there were two ways that the situation could go. One of the tracks was the way that we're told at the start that the king was going to die. But there was another way that things could go. The heart of Hezekiah had something wrong with it that would set him onto that track. And I believe it was a pride issue. That was his problem. And the life of Hezekiah, and the words and the tears and the prayers of Hezekiah showed his heart changed. And his heart changed caused the switch to be thrown so that Hezekiah's path was altered. Adonai did not change his mind. It was the heart of Hezekiah that caused the direction to be altered. Adonai set up both tracks, and the decision was not made by Adonai, but by Hezekiah and his heart attitude, which track was going to be taken. This is what also happened to the city of Nineveh and Jonah. Remember that at the start of the book of Jonah, the prophet was told this. Now the word of Adonai came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Rise, go to the great city Nineveh, call out to her, for their evil has risen before me." Of course, Jonah ran the other way. We know that. But when he got there, he proclaimed what Adonai told him, that in 40 days the city would be overthrown. This was the will of Adonai, according to the reading of the scriptures. So how could it be there's a change in the mind of Adonai? How could that have happened? It was not the change in the mind of Adonai, but the hearts of the people of the city of Nineveh. When we go forward in the book of Jonah, we see what happened. Jonah 3, starting in verse 5. Then the people of Nineveh believed God and called for a fast and wore sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his robe, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. He made a proclamation saying, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, no man or beast, herd or flock, may taste anything. They must not graze nor drink water, but cover man and beast with sackcloth. Let them cry out to God with urgency. Let each one turn from his evil way and from the violence of his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn back from his burning anger, so that we may not perish." When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways, God relented from the calamity that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. God saw their repentant deeds. Just as he saw their deeds of evil and declared the city to be overturned because of their hard attitude, he saw their deeds, which showed the true repentance of the city, true change in heart attitude, which caused the trajectory of the city to be changed. Adonai had two paths for this evil city, and it was up to the heart attitudes of the people that would determine which way it was to go. That phrase, I didn't write it down, but the phrase that says, verse 10, when God saw their deeds, they turned from their wicked ways. God relented from calamity. Doesn't that remind you of the verse that said, "For I know the plans I have for you"? But within that verse, it says, if you turn from your wicked ways. We could be Nineveh if we didn't turn from our wicked ways. Yeshua, being Adonai, showed the same thing. Not a changing of the mind, but a reading of the heart attitude of the people. We see this in Matthew 15. There we read about a woman whose daughter was being tormented by a demonic spirit. She cried out to Yeshua to heal her daughter, where we read this. But he, Yeshua, responded, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So she came and got down on her knees before him, saying, Master, help me. And answering, he said, It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, Yes, Master, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then answering, Yeshua said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed that very hour. Yeshua states he did not come to save her daughter, but only those who were in the lost house of Israel. Was he either lying? Was he mistaken? Or perhaps he changed his mind? Actually, it was none of these things that happened. There was a lesson to be learned, and Yeshua used the situation. It was the humbleness that he saw that showed the woman's heart attitude, both to himself and to the world through the scripture. He did not change his mind, but the heart attitude of the woman changed the path, changed the trajectory that she and her daughter were on. It was always and always will be that the heart attitude affects which one of the tracks that Adonai created is the one that will be on. In 2 Chronicles 16, we see the tribes of Judah and Israel are at war against each other. King Asa of Judah sends gold to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, who lived in Damascus, for help. Then we read this, 2 Chronicles 16, 7. At that time, the seer Hanani came to King Asa of Judah and said to him, Because you had depended on the king of Aram and not depended on Adonai your God, wherefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Libanans, a mighty army with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on Adonai, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of Adonai range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are wholly his. You have acted foolishly in this matter. Indeed, from now on, you will have wars. King Asa had a correct heart attitude previously, which caused victory over greater enemies. But now, for some reason, he was not depending on Adonai. Instead, he tried to purchase protection with gold. Adonai sees the heart attitude change and therefore withholds his protection from Judah. Did Adonai change his mind, going from protecting Judah to not protecting them? No, it was Asa's heart that changed, which caused the nation to take a different track than what they were on before. Asa was told that Adonai strengthens those whose hearts are wholly his. That's what the word is used in Tree of Life. The Hebrew word is sholem, which is a word that is translated many ways, but gives the same feel. In the New King James, it says whose heart is loyal to him. In the easy-to-read version, it says faithful to him. In the Amplified, it says, hearts are blameless. In the King James, it says, perfect. In the NIV, it says, fully committed to him. Put them all together, we read that it's a heart that's fully sold out for Adonai and that depends on nothing else. Adonai is not a small G God that changes his mind, but a capital G God that is merciful and loving, that allows everyone a chance at redemption. Elijah knew this when he prayed to Adonai when confronting the priests of the false god Baal. Listen to what he prayed. 1 Kings 18:36. Now it was at the time of offering up the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Adonai, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Let it be known today that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, that I have done all these things that you, at your word. Answer me, Adonai, answer me, so that these people may know you, Adonai, your God, our God, and that you have turned their hearts back again. Elijah did not pray that they would all die, but that people would turn their hearts back to Adonai. It was their hearts that determined the track that they would be on, and it was his prayers that helped them to cause the change in their heart attitude. This is why we pray for others. We don't pray, Lord, change and love them, because he already loves them. We ask, Ruach HaKodesh, change their heart so that they love you, so that they'll follow you, so that they'll know the sacrifice made by Yeshua. Adonai's call to the lost, those that don't know and accept the blood that was shed for them as an atonement for their sin, has always been the same and always will be. We see it in Isaiah 46, 8. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is yet to come. My purpose will stand, and I will accomplish all that I please. Remember the things of old. Remember the scriptures that go back to the beginning of time, the creation of everything, except the one who always was, the true God who created all else. Know that he is God and that there is no other, he says. He says that his purpose will stand and that what he has set out will be accomplished just as he pleases. This means that regardless what track you're on, they're all going to lead back to Adonai. That all of the tracks that lead back to him, all roads, you've heard it before, all roads lead to God. Why can't we just take any old road? Because although they all lead back to God, it's only the right tracks that are going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in. The wrong tracks are never going to hear that. Instead, they'll be condemned to an eternity separated from him, a separation that's only pain, both in body and spirit. I said earlier that the mercy and grace that it allows lives to change the path to another track that Adonai had laid out for it. But there's a caution that has to be said with that, because Adonai also gives us free will. That means that we can switch the track with our free will. We can switch it to the track of blessing. But the problem is, we can switch it to the track of curses as well. And many times we don't even know when we're at that switch. We don't know. This is why we need to always be ready, always be in his word, always know what's right. Always make the decision that's going to keep us on the track that leads to righteousness and faith and the words, well done, my good and faithful servants. We pray for the lost, because it's not too late to have a switch thrown on the track that they're on. That their life, and maybe even more importantly, their eternal life, changed for all eternity. Our prayers and our tears will not change the mind of Adonai when we pray for our lost ones. But what we do pray is that the Ruach change them. Change their heart soften their mind, open their mind, soften their heart, cause praise to tumble out of their mouth. Praise of Adonai. That's the salvation that we pray for them. Adonai doesn't have to change for them to be saved. The Ruach has to change them for them to be saved. Father, we thank you that you never change. We thank you that it's you and you alone that gives us the opportunity to change tracks. Ruach, we pray that those who are in our family, those who are in our social circles, even the strangers about us, Ruach, that you would do something with their heart that would cause them to want to throw the switch, to change the track, to follow after you. And Ruach, we ask that you enlighten us, show us the path more clearly, so that when we do come to these times of switch, we make the right choices. And Ruach, thank you for your mercy and grace that when we do make the wrong choices, you're still there with us to help us to make the right choice, to get back onto the right track, to make that next switch count. Father, we thank you and praise you that you want our lives to be on the right track, that we can depend upon you to be righteous and loving and merciful. And everyone said, amen and amen.